have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good friends, Shirley Murdoch. whatever you're believing God for tonight, believe that he's working it out in your favor. So I'm telling you, can't nobody work it out for you like God can. He is working it out in your favor. It's 10 o'clock Tuesday night. You must be tuned in to the voice. Apostle Vincent L. Smith is your host from New Haven, Connecticut. God bless everyone tonight. Amen. God is working it out in your favor. And tonight, just got finished playing that wonderful song. So, Kim and Kim, come on, say hello to me.
Hello, it's working out in our favor.
All right. Amen. In Upper Marlboro, Maryland, do we have Bishop Elect Bishop?
We are right here. Give me a second. I'm trying to adjust. I'm on the road. Give me a second.
All right, there we go. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. The blessing of the Lord be upon you all. How we doing today?
And also upon you.
All right. God bless. Nice to be here.
We have
Hello, Gimme Cam.
Hi, Bishop. How are you?
I'm just making sure you awake and with us today. No, I'm joking. I'm sorry, Apostle. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm here.
We have any peaches on the tree today? All right. The Apostle Urban Widow. Apostle Flight. All right. Let's get ready to get into our lesson. Is there anyone online that has not made themselves known yet? All right. Bishop-elect, give us prayer.
All right, let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you always for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. Father God, we take this time to honor you for all you've done. Thank you for the keeping of each and every one of us throughout the course of the day, regardless of the task and whatever it is that we had to get done. You made it possible. You gave us the health to get well, the strength to get through whatever it is that we had to deal with. And now, here we assemble ourselves this evening on this show, in this program, to share with the people who are listening at this present moment. We ask that you would open down our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let the wisdom which comes only from you prevail in this service. We bind, kick out, evict, destroy, and disseminate any disturbing, disruptive, distracting spirit now. In the name of Jesus, we give this service into the hands of the angels of the Lord, whom God has assigned. And Holy Spirit, we invite you in to let the illumination and the revelation of the word come forth. Let nothing be done without you being glorified. For it's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kimmy Kim, let's turn to Numbers chapter 20. Beginning at verse number 8.
Okay. I'm not on my computer today, so I'm doing it from my phone. So you said
Verse number 8.
Gotcha. And it reads... Well, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation, and there be strength. And that is number 8.
All right, keep on reading.
And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given you. Keep on. Okay, number 18. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Keep on.
Yes.
And number 14. And Moses went, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, Thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us. How our fathers went down to Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us, and our fathers, and when we cried out unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and had brought us out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I mean, I pray thee, through the country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the well. We will go by the king's highway. We would not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by this highway, and if I and my cattle drink thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel captive. Okay.
All right, that's good reading. Can we read that? Can we read that Acts 5, 29 out of the Amplified?
Acts 5. You said Acts 5 was first?
Acts 5, verse 29 out of the Amplified.
Yeah, I got that one. And it reads, Then Peter and the apostles replied, We must obey God rather than we have no other choice.
All right. Now we see here in this 20th chapter of Numbers, the first thing we see is that the Lord took time to talk to his leader. Did everybody see that in the text? Now,
yep.
We got to be careful because God will come and give direction how he wants a thing done. There's no need of praying, no need of seeking God's face, because God will come and give direction. What was the direction God gave in this scripture?
So speak to the rock, and water would come.
He told to do what?
Speak to the rock, and water would come from the rock.
You must be mixed up. He told me to speak.
No, trust me, I'm not mixed up. He says use your mouth, not your power.
What? So you're trying to tell me it was a simple instruction.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. And by the way, Dr. Booker is in the car with me, so she's part of the lesson plan tonight.
God bless you, Dr. Booker.
Thank you, sir. Nice to be here, Pat.
So Moses not only received instructions from the Lord, but he received the most simple instructions that anyone could have ever gotten from God Almighty.
No simpler than what was given.
Speak to the rock. He didn't say, Moses, hey, come over here. Let me explain this to you. He said, Moses, open up your mouth to the rock,
yeah,
and the water is going to flow.
Yeah.
How many times does God speak to us the simple and we don't do what he says?
I'm going to throw something out there, Apostle, that's going to offend quite a few people. God uses you to prophetically speak a word, and here you come, seek a Messiah, he shall have come on a Honda, hucking and bucking, and God just simply told you what to share with the person. He did not tell you to get an emotional, epileptic fit and then deliver a word.
Well, you know where that comes from.
Emotionalism.
That come from other people trying to do what they see, not what God says.
And not only do they do what they see, that goes all the way back to where, and I'm not sure exactly what century sensationalism creeped its way into the church. But with sensationalism in and of itself, it has a greater, in the minds of these people, it has a greater effect in heightening the faith of people. So this is what they think. And so they put this big show on. You know, I mean, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be careful how I say it. Ah, Lord, here we go. Miracle water, really? I'm going to stop right there.
Well,
and how'd you get it in the pack? How'd you get in the packet and seal it up and you yourself haven't received a miracle?
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to say this also. I just want to take away the word sensationalism for a while. Because,
okay,
let's say, for instance, I have an anointing to speak in tongues. It didn't tell you what God said. But because you see me walk in my gift, now when you minister, you think this is the way it goes instead of the way God want to use you. So now you stand up there speaking in tongues for 10 minutes and ain't got nothing to interpret. Why?
Amen.
Because the tongues you are speaking in ain't nothing but your praises. It ain't what God wants to say.
Can I offer a very soft rebuttal to that?
Yes.
Listening to what was read, God told Moses to speak to the rock.
Right.
God never told Moses, and Moses didn't get emotional. I'm just using this for what we see in the church today. When God gives you a word, now I got to use myself for example. If God gives me a word to you and say, God says, turn to page 775, there is nowhere where God told me to start speaking in tongues. You could have the gift of tongues, but the gift of tongues and prophecy don't necessarily work together. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen after the word is delivered, but when it's happening before the word is delivered, it becomes a slight distraction because now all eyes are on the individual that's speaking in tongues who's supposed to be delivering a word to the individual that they're supposed to be speaking to. And that's another form of a distraction. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but I was just saying, I didn't disagree. I said, let me take it with that word.
Sensationalism.
I was just bringing out the other side. That sometimes
I got you.
People just like doing what they see other people do, and that may not be the way God want to use you. And
I'm not going to be a judge, but I'm going to say,
Let's go back. Let's go back a few years.
Go ahead.
A woman of God gave Robert Bynum a scarf to put around her neck to keep her from going hoarse. Boy, women all around the creation have scarves around their neck, thinking it was just being anointed. They didn't know the woman of God that gave it to Bynum had been praying over her scarf to keep Juanita from going hoarse. That's why Juanita was wearing the scarf. It was not a fashion. It was not to look good. It was to keep her safe while she did what God said.
Amen. And listen, I get you.
Yeah, this is what I mean about people see things sometimes, but they don't have an understanding. And they try to do it.
And I'm understanding that, and I'm going to step aside and let Dr. Booker and Kimmy Kim have something to say because you and I could carry this conversation all afternoon. But with that, I'm just going to simply say, and hey, listen, the bottom line is that I said what I said only because of the fact that, you know, and I'm trying to find the best way to say this. Some people act and react. But they, like you said, they do it without knowledge or without understanding.
That's what we're talking about. That's what,
and
that's
becomes
what me
the
you
show.
Are talking about.
And that becomes the show. I'm going to relinquish so either Kimmy Kim or Dr. Booker can have something to say.
I just want to say this,
that going back, first of all, to the tongue, I agree with you at about when you're giving somebody a word, God's giving you a word, or you're speaking in tongues, it's out of place at that time. When I say it's out of place, if you're not going to interpret it, or if God's giving you a word to give somebody and you're just going off with the tongue, well, even the Bible says that that's not the right thing to do, because Paul said, you know, if I'm speaking out in tongues, it's good because you speak to the Lord, but if nobody don't know what you're talking about, then you're looking foolish, you know, from the person. But there is the gift of tongues, and the gift of tongues is for the body to uplift, encourage the body. And that gift of tongues is when, you know, someone has to interpret it like it is. I don't know if it says, but so, I mean, you made a comment, somebody made a comment about you shouldn't be speaking in tongues. Maybe I didn't hear right about that part. But tongues is very important. Maybe I missed a point somewhere with the tongue. But did I lose everybody?
The word of God tonight tells us plainly. God told Moses, speak to the rock, which meant he gave Moses something. I'll say it our way. He gave him something in plain English to speak. He didn't give it to him in Arabic or nothing. He gave him plain language to go and speak to the rock. But let's see what happened. What's the first thing that happened?
He gathered the people.
He gathered the people.
There was his, yep. And he gathered Aaron.
How did he gather the people?
But he sent out, the assembly, the elders to assemble them.
Yeah, and I want y'all to see something. He gathered the people, sent out the elders, and God did let him get his rod.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the purpose of the rod this time?
Well, the rod served the wrong purpose, although it was in his right hand. And it was a symbol of extended leadership, yet misused and basically abused in that particular case.
Well, when he picked up the rod, he picked up the rod only in leadership.
That's right.
Only in leadership. God told mm-hmm. him to get the rod and gather the people. It was only
mm-hmm.
for leadership. In this particular case, it was only for him as leader to get this rod and bring the people together. Now, what was his first mistake? What was his first word after gathering the people?
He said, hear ye now, ye rebels. He put himself above the people. First mistake. No leader is above their people. See, I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. There are two types of bosses, the kind that drive and the kind that lead. If you're dealing with the kind that drive, they put themselves above you. They're too good to get in the trenches with you and get the work done, which means that there's a possibility that the work might cease, falter, or even fail. But if you've got a leader who gets in the trenches with you and pulls the weight of the work with you, now there is a greater chance that you are going to get a greater response from the people because they see you trying to help do what needs to be done. And that's the basic difference you see here. Moses put himself above the people. What was the purpose of saying, I know how he felt, because he had already been out there some, 30 some odd days, I believe it was. And, you know, they cried about food and looked like somebody was coming to whoop their tail and they was whining and crying. He brought us to the wilderness to die. You know, and that goes all the way back to Pharaoh chasing them through the Red Sea. Time after time, God showed himself strong on their behalf, but yet and still, their faith in God would not allow them to rise up and move to the promised land in the 3.5 days or 3 days it should have taken.
Now,
that's a little extra there.
Think about this. God is speaking, but
mm-hmm.
Moses had an attitude. He has a leadership office that has led him into talking like he's crazy. Come on, you rebels. Where does he think he has the right to call God's people rebels?
Yeah, who gave him that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Who gave him that right to call? Matter of fact, who gives us a right to say who's saved, who's not saved? Well, we know, we can tell by the fruit, and that's how we know. But the truth of the matter is, because we know, is it all right to turn around and slap them in the face with it?
It's
because
they know. We think they should be. You're right.
Talk out loud. Talk out loud so they can hear you.
So just because they're not where we think they should be in their walk with God, you're right.
And then not only does he says rebel, he gets worse. Must we fetch water?
Who is we?
I'm up there with God. He's a twister.
You know, and he, it's like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and me.
And Moses. Amen.
I've got to say this because I had this conversation with Bishop Richardson just today. I promise you, Apostle, we talked somewhere along the lines of where you're at tonight. We talked about those leaders who put themselves on the same line as God himself. How do you think Satan got kicked out of heaven? Trying to put himself equal with Almighty God.
And then
we look at this. Not only did he say rebels, not only did he say, must we fetch you water and feed your animals too, he had the nerve to then take the rod and do something that was not spoken. What was that giving him? What was that, Kimmy Kim? Kimmy Kim?
Unmute yourself.
What was that Moses did? He was so mad. What was that he did with the rod?
I was talking. What was the question again?
I said Moses was so off in his attitude, happy he got finished bursting out and going off on the people. What did he do with the rock?
He broke the rock to make water.
No. I'm going to stop you right there.
All right.
We got to look at the Bible. The Bible, the Lord told him to speak. But when Moses got that water, what did he do, y'all? Anybody?
He took the rod and with an attitude struck, physically hit the rock with the staff that was meant for leadership. And that's a representation.
Nope, y'all still not getting it. Look at the scripture.
I can't.
It said he took the rod and struck the rock twice.
That's what we said.
I just said that.
I didn't say
he struck it twice. I just said he struck the rock. He wasn't supposed to strike it the first time, let alone two times.
This is what I'm trying to tell you now. He was in such an attitude, not only did he strike once, he had the nerve to go at it twice. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he was doing something that God did not say do.
Disobedience.
It's not in the scripture, but I believe by reading it carefully, when he hit the rock the first time, nothing happened.
Uh-huh.
I know.
I would agree.
So he was hidden in anger. Now, what kind of nerve did Moses have in the first place? You gonna take your rod and hit God.
All right. Because the anointing of God was upon that rock to produce water. And literally, think about this. Who is the source, the power source in the triune God? Is it not the Holy Spirit? Right? Yes? No?
Yes.
All right.
But,
if the Holy Spirit... go ahead.
What was that?
I was saying, now think about it. Who is the power source or the enforcer of power in the triune God? Is it not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? If the Spirit of God is the enforcer power-wise, or when I say enforcer, I mean the power source. He's actually, yeah, he is striking God, but he's striking God the Holy Spirit, because it's God the Father gives instruction to the Holy Spirit, who now comes down and works in and through us. That's how miracle signs and wonders is done through us, by way of the Holy Spirit. So he's literally smacking the Holy Spirit when he's smacking the rock.
Well, the reason I said he was hitting, and look at this, the reason I said he was hitting God, because God is the rock. God is the water. And the Spirit made it all happen.
That's right.
And this is why, as people of God, we got to be careful when we get angry and then start hitting God, who is there to make things happen in a miraculous way.
Yeah,
oh,
that's another
God.
That's abuse right there.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Misuse of power and authority, and it's all out abuse. So what did God do to you again that you had the nerve to abuse him? I'm just kind of trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and then let's think about it. When Moses hit that rock the first time out of God's command and there was no water, then Moses said, okay, God, you're going to show up on me. He went and he hit God again. Get this water out of here. He hit it again. God, use that water is coming. Get this water out of here. But God didn't tell me to hit the rock.
All right. Now, let me take it into today's times. God, you told me you was going to heal this person of cancer. And I laid hands on them, and nothing happened. And then they go back and grab them by the forehead and the back of their neck and start shaking them like they're crazy. Think about it.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me one night. We was in a tent meeting. And they told everybody, lay hands on somebody else and God's going to do the miraculous. So God lay hands on me. Somebody you were praying for my eyes. My eyes got a little better, but they did not get hope.
Uh-huh.
So he comes over to me and grabs both my arms and starts squeezing and shaking me. Come on, you can see. You can see. Come on, start seeing. Oh, well, that's for me to say.
Let go of me.
Huh?
I'm tired. If that was me, I would say, Negro, if you don't let go of me, shaking me up like you lost your mind.
Because if the Lord had done a great healing for me right there at that moment, it's still for me to say, you can't shake me and mold me and tell me, come on, you need to say something. I know you can see. Well, why do you know I can see? Because you pray, or because God is a miracle worker?
See, that's the point that we were at in the earlier beginning. Is it because you want people to see you in another light? Or is it that we are glorifying and manifesting the works of the Lord? Too many people, when I use the word sensationalism, when I use that word sensationalism, too many people get wrapped, tied, and tangled because God used them one time 10 years ago to make something for somebody else. And they've been on the cloud ever since, thinking that they think they're the stuff. And I'm using the word stuff to keep from using an even worse word. You know what I'm talking about. They think there's something to them more so than they ought to know. And then Paul turned around and said it best in Romans, I believe it's chapter 12 and verse 3, that every man ought not think of himself more highly than he ought to. But we got people who think highly of themselves. They think above and beyond what God has placed within them. Now, don't get me wrong. When we are walking by faith and not by sight, we are actually walking by faith in obedience to Almighty God. And because of that obedience, we open the door for manifested miracles, signs, and wonders. But it's because of our obedience to that faith that those miracles, signs, and wonders are even manifested. It really has nothing to do with me or it has nothing to do with you. It's just like those of you back in the day when you used to drink that Kool-Aid with the 10 pounds of sugar in it. You weren't glorifying the pitcher. You were drinking the Kool-Aid. It's the same base principle. I mean, the pitcher was just the vessel that the Kool-Aid used, and that's what I'm driving at. You were just the vessel that God used for that time. Get up off your high horse.
Let's look at something. Even in Moses' anger, let's look at the mercy of God.
Yes.
Moses hit the rock twice. And the people just started drinking. So that means this time around, even though Moses was off, God made the water taste good. Because the first time he hit it, didn't he have to put something in it to make it taste sweeter?
Yes, he did. The water was bitter when it first came out.
Now here he was. In the wrong attitude, but because God wanted to do something for the people through him, when he hit that rock the second time and they started drinking, the water was good and they drunk, and even that their animals. Who can on this line can tell me why would God be merciful in a anger moment?
I would send. Let me let somebody else answer because I'm doing most of the talking here. Let me hush for a few minutes.
And why would God be merciful?
Why would God be merciful?
He is merciful. That's one of his characteristics. That's who he is.
You gotta
he's
talk.
Yalba Hung, the Father of Compassion.
You gotta talk louder.
He's a God of mercy. That's who he is. That's one of his characteristics. God is merciful. That's why, because he loves us. He loves us despite the things that we do. He's love. That's what I'm coming out with. That's just God.
What would you say, Kim and Kim?
And he said.
That she got to come off you and stay off you.
Nah, she must be talking again.
And God told Moses. He told Moses in Deuteronomy, I think it was, he said, I am the God of mercy, and I think it's called R-A-C-H-A-M, which is the Father of mercy. He said, I have mercy on who I want to have mercy on, and who I don't want to have mercy on, I don't have mercy on. That's in the Old Testament, which doesn't go for the New Testament.
Now here's another thing we got to discover tonight. God was trying to do something for his people. He did not hold Moses' attitude against his people.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's right.
What? When he told Moses, I'm going to give them water. He gave them water. It tasted good. They were able to drink. They were able to give water unto their animals. But yet, God says, Moses, you haven't obeyed. Now, I got to deal with you.
Yeah.
I got to deal with you now.
And I mean, it's because he's the leader, he cannot be misleading, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Anytime the leader is misleading, the people will be misled.
And this scripture here is proof that a leader can be off while the people of God are still following God.
Right. And still
Can I throw one more in there that you might want to look at some point in time?
Yeah.
Recall when Samuel, the prophet, was sent to go find the king. And he thought, sure, the first son was the actual king, and he went to go pour the oil on him. And you know who said this? You'll enjoy this. It was actually Woodson, who says, I've got to preach the message. This is his quote. I got to preach the message one of these days. What happens when the prophet's wrong?
Well, that's true.
But it goes, he asked the question, what happens when the prophet's wrong? It's not that we can't do anything wrong. People look at, you know, the fivefold ministry like we can never do any wrong, like we are so perfect. Like, we never make a mistake. Everything we do is decent and in order at all times. And that's beautiful that we want it to be that way. But the truth of the matter is we have flaws just like anybody else.
Right. That's so true.
We have shortcomings. Go ahead.
Now, watch this. When Moses is messing up and God gets angry with Moses, the first thing God said to Moses, Moses, my people are walking upright. So it actually, God was saying to Moses, I ain't got nobody to deal with but you. The people are doing what they're supposed to do. Moses, you're the only one. Get ready to get punished today. Now that's real sad when the leader is the one gets in trouble, not the people.
Well, you see the obedience of the people. The people were told to gather. Think about this, Apostle, and I'm throwing this in there because when you making that comment, it looks like this. The elders were sent out to gather the people, meet at this rock, I think it's Horeb or whatever it was called. Meet at this rock. Moses had the pastor's got something that he needs to say. Now, you know, some folk, let's do today's terminology. Pastor needs you at church Sunday at 9 o'clock so we have a special meeting.
I ain't coming no 9 o'clock. I don't get up till 10:30. Service ain't till 12 noon. Well, I got to get there early.
They could have done that. But they showed up instead. You know, they didn't murmur or complain. Go ahead.
And then not only that, not only did they show up, they showed up and waited on God's instruction. Oh, my Lord. Not only Cain, but Cain with attitude. I can't do nothing until God speaks.
Amen.
Now, Moses was already upset and doing whatever, but I got sad news tonight. God said, okay, Moses, you're a little attitudinal right now, but let me tell you something. You're going to see the promised land, but you ain't going.
All right.
Now, if anybody can get, if anybody can get you straight, God can get you straight, but he's going to get you straight in a way where you understand God just dealt with it.
All right.
He dealt with this situation in a way where Moses could not deny. God just kicked me in my head and told me how that feels.
Pretty much.
God said, you're going to see it. Get on up on the mountain. You're going to see it, but you ain't going.
And now, wasn't the time that he saw the promised land about the time he went to sleep in the mountain?
Oh, yes. God let him see it at his death.
You know what I liken that to? Did you remember the movie Black Panther?
Yeah.
When T'Challa's cousin challenged him for the throne, and he beat him the first time. But the second time, he was beaten, and he said he had never seen Rwanda. So he took him up into the cliff so that he could see the entire city. And that's where he lay, was laid to rest, right there. The symbolism I'm looking at is to the leader who is blatantly disobedient to God and honest, knowing full well that they are out of line with no remorse or no desire to repent. You'll get to see the promise, but you will never experience the promise.
God got a way. He said, I'll let you experience. From a distance, I ain't gonna let you experience from inside.
There you go.
Why do you think so many pastors die with the vision still in their heart?
Because when you
start pastoring and leading and think that people gotta listen at you and you ain't listening at God, you gonna put yourself in jeopardy.
That's it. And keep in mind also, God does give you, put wise counselors, or wise counselors around you. So he will speak through those wise, that wise counsel to help you to move forward, to lead the people. He will do that.
But I'm going to bring up that strange statement. To some that think they really in charge. I'm the pastor here. What does that mean?
Nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, listen, my congregation knows. I personally do that in jest, just so the radio audience will listen. And that's my way of saying, okay, all right, listen, let me handle what's going on in terms of what God is saying, and y'all give God a chance to talk to me so we can get down to business. But generally speaking, there are a lot of people, when you say I'm the pastor here, they're trying to say I am the HNIC. I'm the head Negro in charge. And it's not about you being in charge. See, there's a difference between domination and dominion. And when you're trying to dominate the people God has given you to lead, you're out of line with the word. But to have dominion means that you are leading and guiding with gentleness and tender loving care. It goes back to that two types of bosses I talked about. You're trying to dominate, you're cracking a whip. And every time you say jump, all they're supposed to say is how high. That's not the way it's done. Going to turn around and say, come here, let me show you how to do this. This is how we're going to do this. And you go on
and then you have to watch out for that other statement. I'm the authority here. What, the Holy Ghost?
Oh, yeah. Makes you wonder.
We got to watch these little crazy things we say. because when we say it, we don't realize it, but we're saying, I put God out the program. Now you follow me.
All right now.
And so when we listen to Moses tonight, must we fetch your water and all this? Moses was throwing God to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And taking full charge status, his own self, that he had to do whatever needs to be done for the people to get it right. When God let him know, nah, brother, the people got it right this time. It's you right now that got a problem.
All right.
And your punishment is today, you will see the promise, but not have the promise. Oh, my God.
Amen.
Lord, I mean, can you imagine that? You're going to see what God's going to give, but you're not going to participate in it.
Mm-hmm. Not this time. Not this time.
So when Moses died, knowing that the promise was coming, but he couldn't get into it.
And that by itself was a painstaking event.
My God.
Now listen, if you know that that God is taking you to a land of milk and honey, fields with fruits, trees, and different things that you did not plant, gardens you didn't sow, houses you didn't build, all you're going to do is walk in and just take over.
Okay, can I?
And the only way he knew God's word was true was when he sent the spies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even have access to the promise back then. He didn't handle nothing from the promise.
No.
Nope.
He just had
evidence of the promise.
Two men came back with a cluster of grapes big enough for two of them to carry. They had great big watermelons and leeks and all that. And they came back with proof, but he didn't have nothing.
But he knew God said it was so. So it was, you know,
God did say it was so.
He knew if God had said it, that it was. He didn't see it, but I mean, he knew God said it, so it was going to be.
So when he sent out the 12 spies and two came back with a good report, the 10 with a bad report, they agreed that the land flowed with milk and honey, meaning that it was a rich and productive land. They agreed at the fact that there were plenty of houses. They agreed that the fruits and vegetables were out of this world, bigger than the norm. They agreed on all that. But where their disagreement was the fact that even though God said that you could take the land, they let their natural minds or their fear and their doubts talk them out of getting themselves in position to go do what God called. If it weren't for Joshua and Caleb, the children of Israel would have never made any attempt in the latter years to go take over the land.
I'm going to say this right here. I dealt with it a few weeks ago, so I'm going to say it again. They left the children of Egypt as agents for God, but came back to us.
Yes.
Now, Joshua and Caleb came back still agents, but the other 10 came back bunk.
We're not well able to take it. There's giants in the land. They make us look like grasshoppers. What are they saying when they say
they were so big?
We look like grasshoppers in their sight.
And they didn't even know that day that when they went back and Joshua sent spies, the prostitute testified and said, "We've been scared of y'all 40 years."
Yeah,
Rohan. Uh-huh. They talking about we can't do, and the people are scared of them.
I think that testimony right there may have ignited Joshua and Caleb. Because when Rahab was hiding them, she confessed that they were afraid of the Israelites.
Yeah, we heard about you people.
We heard about you. Ah, looking now.
And don't y'all realize that's why Jericho built the wall so high, so big, and so fat, because they were determined Israel was not going to get them.
Uh-huh.
The walls came down, buddy.
And I want to straighten something out there too. The wall did not fall down. The Bible says, and the wall fell flat.
They came down.
God gave Israel a straight out deliverance. And when the wall fell, they were able to take the top of the wall and walk across and begin to possess the land.
Amen.
That's exactly
right. Amen. Come on. And already they marched around it 7 times and they gave a shout. Hallelujah.
Lord,
praise brought those walls down. That's what praise will do.
But let me say this. When we obey God, whether it's in healing, whether it's in the area of finances, regardless of where it is, is there not a wall that gets torn down?
It crumbles and tumbles. Amen.
I mean, a lot of times, folks can't get out of their financial binds because of their hard-headedness. God's telling them to go left, and they keep going right. And then when God tells them to go right, they decide to go left. And then they can't figure out why they can't get in a better position. And, you know, I mean, the thing about it is, paying your tithes and paying your offerings is one thing. But there are times when you have to hear the Spirit of God. Because God will turn around, and now I'll say, I'm going to share this now. Because this happened just yesterday. We were trying to get directions to go to the hospital where my brother was. And then we got to a place, and believe it or not, we had pulled into a women's clinic parking lot. I was trying to get turned around so I could go back out and get in the right direction to get to this hospital. A gentleman comes by, and he looks, I stopped, let him go by. Then he looks at the license plate, and then he starts doing with the hands together the prayer, like it starts to be saying, bless you, Bishop, because on my plate it says Bishop Ernest E. Richards, Jr. I changed the plate 2 or 3 weeks ago, by the way, so you know, Apostle. But anyway, the bottom line is and the first thing out of my mouth is all he's going to do is ask me for money. And she says to me, well, how do you know God doesn't want you to give him some money?
Or to pray for him. Or
to pray for
him. I had something for you to give to him.
Now, that's an opportunity that I lost and I missed because in my own flesh in that moment, I was calling somebody greedy. Stop begging. Hello? When I was asking for help, what did I do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get beside ourselves. I mean, thank God he's doing what he's doing, but that doesn't make me greater than the next person. Now, I know Jesus himself said the poor you will always have with you, and it's nowhere in the Bible where he says you do have to take care of widows and orphans. It's nowhere in the Bible where it says you have to give every dollar you got away to every person that comes up and begs for it.
Because it's only good about money. You know, they may think it's money.
I'm just saying, generally speaking, obeying God means simply hearing his voice and doing exactly what he said to do and not what somebody thinks you ought to do.
Or what you think you ought to do.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Now that fifth chapter of Acts told us, it's better to obey God. Somebody tell me, according to that scripture, what we see in this number, chapter 20.
I'm trying not to talk. I'm trying to be quiet so somebody else can talk besides me.
Well,
Come on, Doc. Obey. Come on, Kimmy Kim. Somebody talk to me.
Oh, just obey God when he tells you to do something. Just do it. Just do it. Don't ask questions. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Just focus on what he says and do it. Because almost always when you do what he tells you to do, then he takes you to the next level. There's always something behind whatever he tells you to do, something else that he wants you to do that which you're supposed to do at that time takes you into it, ushers you into. Does that make sense? Just obey God.
Okay. Let me ask this question. If that is better to obey God, can we get so attitudinal that we don't know the better?
You know what?
We can.
We don't know what.
Can we get so out of tune that we don't know the better?
Oh, stop praying for a day. Stop praying for a day. Yeah.
You hear that, Pastor?
Stop praying for a day or two. You can get out in a minute. Yes, absolutely. Don't stay before God.
So in this lesson tonight, we also realize you got to watch your character, your attitude towards the things of God in order to get what God is going to do for you.
That's so true. And you know what the Bible says? Do all things without murmuring and complaining and grumbling. It does. You're right.
I mean,
everything God
does. Let's look at the man of God. The prophet was getting ready to come and anoint him to be king again.
Uh-huh.
But he went down there and called them good-looking lambs and good-looking cows, and so that the king was healthy enough to be a slave rather than kill him. What'd he do?
His disobedience cost him the kingdom.
And it wasn't like he went out there to see what he could do. God had already given him instructions and direction.
Thank you.
That he had.
Thank you.
Because we find out when the prophet finally catches up with him, did you do what the Lord said? Did he add to your life? He added to it. Already not doing what God said.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I did what the Lord said. When what was the sound of the sheep and the lamb and everything I heard last night?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what messed me up in that scripture. He didn't say, I heard the lamb and stuff a few minutes ago. He said, what was all that noise I heard last night when I was coming to you?
Mm-hmm. All right,
you have not. You have not done what God said, but yet you're telling me you did.
Nice.
But now think about this. Not only did he lie, I mean, how many of us leaders, and I'm saying us leaders, have made up excuses for why we did not do what God called us to do? God called me into the ministry. He called me to be an apostle. He called me to be a prophet, a bishop, an overseer, whatever the case may be, an evangelist. He told me to start a church. You turn around and they go through the process and they take on the office, but you never see the manifestation of the church that God instructed them to build. I'm not throwing shade nowhere. I'm just using something that's a commonality. It happens in the body of Christ quite often.
Let me tell you something, and don't do that again. You don't ever have to apologize for truth.
You know what?
Well, I'm not apologizing. I'm just trying to make it clear. Make it clear that I'm not throwing shade. No, because I know, but we know of a couple of situations.
Whether you want to say it is or not, that's an apology way. That does not have
all right.
to be done. When we tell
all
the
right.
truth, it's just truth.
Okay.
Now,
I'm going to leave it alone, brother. I apologize.
The only thing a person can do with truth is either deal with it or get away from it.
You'll never get away from
that.
So you might as well deal with it.
I had to learn that years ago, but I still hold fast to it now. Truth, only people are going to deal with it or they're going to get away from it and keep doing the same old dirty thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
well, I mean, I brought that
truth.
Up. Yeah, I brought that up because...
With it.
Okay, I'm going to leave. I rescind my apology because of the simple fact that too many people, too many of us will turn around and say, God sent us to do this and God sent us to do that. And when it's time to go do the work, it's amazing how we can find every excuse under the sun for not accomplishing what God has sent us out to do.
And look at the lie he told the man of God. He said, I got this because of the people.
And he mentioned sacrifices too. I got the good sheep, the good, so that we may sacrifice unto the Lord. Really? As if God doesn't know the motive of his heart.
Can I ask the question? How are you going to sacrifice for God to kill? What can you offer up to God that he ain't asking for?
I'm serious.
All right,
that's
now.
True.
See, when you start getting this word, man, there's so much revelation. It's not even funny. Revelation is all over the Word of God.
That's true.
And here's the worst part. Just like we talked about Moses missing the promise, here's the saddest part of that scripture. And most people don't deal with it. But God says to the man of God, because you have rejected my word. Not because you rejected doing killing the king, killing the lamb, but you rejected my word by what you did. Now I have rejected you.
In other words,
so
you didn't trust me enough and believe in me enough.
That's right. When we don't take the word of God at face value, then we got to deal with the fact that God said, okay, you don't want to deal with me. I'm not going to deal with you.
All right. Once God cuts you off, you are cut off.
What you
and
say?
People don't understand that. Once God cuts you off, you are cut off. All you have left to do is live out the days he's assigned to you, and after that, you're done. I mean, you can repent, but you will not regain it.
Well, now I have a question. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I want to ask a question in reference to what you said. I can understand. Now, I'm asking a question. I can understand what you just said. Once God cuts you off, you're cut off. In the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the New Testament, because of the blood and the forgiveness that we have, and we're forgiven for sins past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and the Bible says that seven times a man may fall, but seven times he'll get up. You know, God will lift him back up again. So knowing that and having that in the Bible, and I don't know how to put this up. I'm just asking the question, how is it that once God cuts you off, you're cut off?
Well, can I explain that?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Apostle, may I explain that?
Go ahead.
All right, primarily, God doesn't cut you off, meaning you're kicked out of the kingdom. You lose your crown, your rewards, the jewels that go in your crown. Because if you go back, Paul talked about the wood, stubble, and hay, meaning the works that you do. And wood, stubble, or hay, or whether they be of gold, silver, or bronze. As a Christian, and you still stay in God, you disobey God repeatedly, and God sends you on assignment, i.e., I'm just going to use something small that we can all deal with. God sends you out to evangelize, and you pull a Jonah and decide that you're not going to do it. And then God has to take you through a series of things. If God pulls you off that assignment, you're off that assignment. You cannot receive the reward that comes from that assignment. Your soul can still be saved because you're right. Under the New Testament, you can repent. The only time you cannot get repentance is when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And I'm going to throw this out there. This is Ernest 1 and 1. It's not in Scripture, but you got to understand. How can you repent when you commit suicide?
Okay.
You blow your brains out with a gun. You can't repent.
Okay.
So those are the two times you can't be saved. You can't be redeemed. But you'll lose your assignment, but you do not. You may not lose your salvation.
Then how come?
But I'm also giving this. One scripture tells us when you willfully sin against the Holy Ghost, there is no repentance.
No, I'm not talking about that, though. I'm not talking about sinning against the Holy Ghost. I'm just talking about, we're talking about assignments. We won't, you guys took it to another direction. I'm still,
if you're talking about assignments and ask a New Testament question, then it got to involve the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't get the New Testament.
Then how come, why does the Bible say that you can, if God gives you something to do, and you say you don't do it the first time, you know, then how come you're saying you don't get a second chance to do it? You know, like if you don't do it, and I don't know for whatever reasons, but then you repent and you ask for forgiveness and you move on, but so God don't let you do it. He said, okay, you didn't do it, but I told you to do it.
It's not the same assignment. I see what you're saying.
See, God, if your life is mapped out, if God drew your map out, he said, even before you were in your mom's womb, but I knew you, and he said, I know the plans I have for you,
mm-hmm.
your plans, I have everything planned in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a part of your life plan. So you didn't do it the first time, whatever it was, but you go back after a while and you do it. So I'm saying, you can't do it. So you're not really living out the plan that he gave
you. You're still missing a benefit that's owed to you or that God would have given to you. And because you didn't do it the first time, you don't get that portion of that benefit. So you're getting a benefit, but you don't get the full benefit because of your disobedience the first time around.
How many people do that, though? Don't we all do that?
Every last one of us.
We all have missed the point. We've missed that point somewhere. So you're saying that...
I get it. I'm trying to explain the best I can.
Okay.
There's another scripture in Corinthians that said, I have not seen, neither have ear heard the things that God has prepared. He just said prepared. Now, God prepared them, but because God prepared them does not mean that you're going to actually receive them, because if you're not in a place to receive it, God's not going to release it.
But you're right, and that's what I'm saying. So when you... God is so merciful, and here's where the mercy comes in, and his goodness, that even if you blow it the first time, you get second chances with God.
You get third, fourth, and fifth
chances.
You get third, I know, you get third, fourth, and fifth chances.
So you finally do it.
But the problem here is when you miss the original assignment.
Don't God, don't you think that God knew you were
going to
miss it?
Well, the whole bottom line, God knows ahead of time a lot of things you're going to do.
Right, so.
But he gives you opportunity, not necessarily to prove him wrong. He gives you opportunity to get that assignment done.
And then you do it. You missed it the first time. He knew you was going to miss it the first time. You missed it the second time.
Now.
You got it together the third time, and you did just like he said. So now, he's just saying, okay, you blew it, so I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying?
Well, all he's simply saying is you blew it the first time. Okay, let me put it like this. Apostle, we still got you? All right.
But you answered the first time. You
I know I did, but I'm
when we get to heaven, we will not receive the reward that we were going to get.
I know, I said that.
Because if God got to come back and then get us to do what he told us to do, all right, we just shortchanged ourselves. That's why when we get to heaven.
That's why when we get to heaven, that's why Jesus already told us there's going to be some whoopings for what we knew and did not do. Now I'm trying to make an understanding. What I started to say was this. Primarily, your first assignment, there were other people involved in that first assignment that got shortchanged and did not get the benefit of what they were supposed to get because of your refusal to do it. Those people won't come back because God's going to direct them people to somebody else. So you do not get that portion of that assignment. You do not get, let me finish, you don't get that portion of the blessing.
But they still get their blessing.
Because God reassigned them to somebody else. But you were supposed to get the benefit of that blessing, and you missed it because you failed to do what God called you to do. Now, he does give you a second chance, which means there's more people coming. And if you miss that second chance, you don't get that blessing because you missed that assignment.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean God's not going to let you fulfill the assignment, but the original people that should have been blessed as a result of your assignment.
You're a portion of it. You're a portion of that.
It's still the point is the original people who were part of your original assignment have now been assigned to other people who will receive the blessing that you should have got, but in your disobedience, you missed it.
But that God doesn't wipe you out.
I mean, I didn't say God wiped you out. Yes, so when God I know what I said. But when God, when Jacob now, we got to go back to Hebrew. What's that? Hebrews, what is that? Hebrews, they have nothing more to look forward to. Than, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
That's
when reprimand comes.
And that scripture, particular scripture, that's someone who has said that they've turned their back on the Holy Spirit, on God, and say, on the Son of God, and said,
well,
hey.
You don't do your assignment. What do you think you've done? Anything that's not done in faith is in the scripture says.
I'm going to stop now because I'm not
trying. No, you don't need to stop.
No,
it's a discussion.
The thing I'm saying is that you didn't do the first time, but you did do it. You didn't do it when God told you to do it the first time. But when you came to get
Let me ask you this question. Is the effect or the overall benefit and effect greater in the first try or is it greater in the second or third try?
I think it's
great when you've done it. The truth of the matter is we got to stop. We can't bypass the fact that, okay, let's go back to the scripture we were dealing with in Numbers. Speak to the rock. All right? All right. Moses didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock. Okay? The fact is, God told him that the end result is water would come out of that rock. He was told how to do it, and he did it his way, and it didn't work. But be out of God's mercy toward the people, the second time he struck that rock, water came. Moses didn't get the benefit of the promised land because of his disobedience. He was told to speak. In the same way, if God assigns you a people to evangelize and you fail to evangelize them, you don't get that benefit.
Okay, I'm going to use it. All right, but let's say God. All right. Okay, this is your zone. Thank you. I got what you guys are saying. I don't necessarily agree with everything. I just don't see how God's going to say. I understand what you're saying. If you don't do what God gives you to do, so you do
the first time.
You miss that portion of what you were supposed to get to that person. You don't get your blessing because you didn't incorporate it at night and inject it into whatever it was that person did for that person. God still bless that person.
I refuse to think it's just like in our own home. If you tell your son to go out there and cut the grass, and you look outside, he's down the street playing basketball, ain't no grass being cut. you're not getting ready to take him to McDonald's.
Right, he loses his...
Okay, you don't
want
to cut
the grass.
Okay, right. And then the next one go out there and cut it. And you give him money to go to McDonald's. And the one that went out there first talking about, well, I went out to cut the grass. No, but you didn't cut it. That's the same way God is going to do
it. But
I sent you to do something.
What was that?
Somebody got a door open. Somebody's got to do. Okay, there you go.
But Apostle, next week your son goes out and cuts the grass. Next week he goes out and cuts the grass. You tell him next week to do it, and he does it. So what happens then?
He'll get a reward.
I'm just saying.
He will still get a reward, but it won't be the original reward. It's all right. It's the difference between $1,000 and $300. You do it the first time. The benefit is $1,000. You don't do it the first time, and then you come back and do it later. You know, and I mean, in the market.
May I ask a question? May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
This is Mark. So, the one who comes to my mind. This is Marva. So, the one who comes to mind. Hi. The one who comes to mind is Paul, who obviously did not. He murdered many. Also David, others in scripture. So God's grace is also like a lot of.
It's all a Paul.
I guess
King
the question
Saul.
I would have is, excuse me.
No. My sister was asking, did you say Saul or Saul?
Paul.
She was talking about Saul, King Saul, the one that David replaced.
So Paul, who became Paul?
Oh, Paul. Yeah, Paul. Yeah.
Okay, Paul.
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 Became Paul. Right? So we could clearly say that he missed the mark many, many times, but most definitely he fulfilled the will of God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
David missed the will of God many times, but was repentant in heart, and he also fulfilled the will of God. So I guess the question would, I mean, I wouldn't want to try God on it, right? But clearly we could say that God's grace is all sufficient.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We don't know.
It is all sufficient. Can I say God's grace is all sufficient?
Let me just, I just want to finish, that's
go
all.
Ahead.
So,
go ahead.
Like, a lot of times people miss the assignment because they lack understanding. There are many reasons why you can miss the assignment.
Yeah.
It will be perceived as disobedience, or in many cases it would be disobedience because we lack understanding as to what the real assignment was. Sometimes we think we know what the assignment is, but God has something else totally in mind. The other thing is that a lot of times shame or guilt kind of burdens the person down. So then they feel so guilty, or they are shamed. They're feeling like, oh, God is going to get me. I could never do whatever he wants me to do now. He's never going to let me. And that becomes a barrier. It's not that God doesn't want. Obviously, God wouldn't give us something to do and then not permit us to do it. He wants us to fulfill all of his will. He wants us to be willing to heart.
Can I hold you right there for one second? Please allow me to hold you for one second.
Hold on. We're going to have to end tonight because the phones are really going in and out real bad.
They can't hear the podcast anymore. It is a great conversation.
So,
but Apostle, with all due respect, sir, and I know you got to end because it's past the hour, but the thing I'm trying, we're talking the difference between a person who misses the mark because they lack knowledge. I'm talking about the person who misses willfully misses the mark. Saul, King Saul, willfully missed the mark. Jonah, willfully missed the mark. Paul thought he was hitting the mark till he realized that he was making mistakes. There's a difference between the two. The person that misses it because of a lack of knowledge always has opportunity to recover. But the person that willfully misses that mark You took yourself out of the picture.
But then if you ask God to forgive you, you're not out of the picture.
The examples that you gave demonstrate that you're not out of the picture. Jonah, who went the wrong way, purposely, intentionally.
Yeah.
All right.
He knew now, God was going to forgive him, but God still allowed him to fulfill his will.
And he was mad about it, wasn't he? But what now? What about the King Saul? What was his? What happened to King Saul? We got to talk about it because that's where we are right there.
In the case of King Saul, God never wanted the people to have a king anyway. He wanted
they
to
wanted
be
it.
Their king, but they wanted it, so he gave them what they wanted. So,
but my point, my dear sister, you can't deny the fact.
Moses is the rock. The rock symbolizes Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ was never going to be stricken a second time. It's important, doctrinally, it's important to, it's not just that Moses was angry, it's what the rock, who the rock represented. That the rock could
and
not be.
And we covered that.
He disobeyed, yes, but the rock will not be stricken again. Jesus did it once for all, period.
And we got that part. But, I mean, real quick, back to Saul. This could go on all day, and I know Apostle wants to end the show. But all I'm simply saying is to the – and then Paul picked it up in Hebrews when he talks about the individual who willfully sins has nothing more to look forward to than a certain judgment. And that's going to happen. Now, I'm talking about practicing sin as a way of life in disobeying God. It's better to obey God than to obey man. When God is disobeyed, there are consequences to it. And that's really the moral of what we're talking about today. And I appreciate all that you just brought to the table. You know, the whole bottom line is this. Basically, if you walk away from what God has assigned you to do, you may be able to get a chance to get back and do it, but you may end up in a Saul situation where you don't get opportunity to get back and do it. How many pastors are not pastoring anymore because of their disobedience? And then I'm not going to say because of COVID. I don't know what happened. I didn't get their life. I didn't know what they did. How many of them pastors may have passed on because God just decided to take them out because of disobedience? I'm not making any assumption. I'm just saying we don't know.
But I was talking specifically about the ones who come back.
I get you.
The ones who, they've done it, they made a mistake. Like I'll use a Jimmy Swagger. You know, everybody knows his story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came back big time, big time. So, I mean, and God's forgiven, and he always talks, and I love listening to Jimmy Swagger, but he talks about how what he did,
mm-hmm.
how God forgave him,
mm-hmm.
he was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and now his ministry is like over the top. But God gave him another chance, and it's used him mightily. That's why I asked.
But Jimmy Swagger was we'll talk about it. Apostle, go ahead. We'll have to discuss this at another time because it's a good conversation. I promise you, it's a great conversation.
And we're on the road, so we can stay up all night.
We can talk all night because we're on the road.
They probably sleep.
Did we lose you?
He said, I'm leaving. Be gone.
Sister, give me care. Did we lose Apostle?
No, he's still on.
Oh, he's on.
Okay. Apostle?
He's asleep.
No, he ain't asleep. He's just sitting there letting us finish out. I don't know where he's gotten off to. I know we're past his time. It's actually, we're only 5 minutes past his time. Apostle Smith, are you still there, sir?
Maybe he went to the bathroom.
No, don't even do that. All right, well, Jimmy Kim, I'm going to go ahead and say we thank God for each and every one of you taking the time to be with us today. Please tune in next Tuesday. I believe we will pick up this discussion somewhere in this just a little bit further. Sister Marva, come on a little earlier because you got great wisdom, great understanding, and I do appreciate what you bring to the table. So please come a little earlier if you can.
I was just listening. But the reason I said something is because there are so many people that feel like, you know, it's without any hope.
But there is hope. So some people just don't do it. And I wouldn't want anybody to go away thinking,
absolutely,
you know, that's probably the evangelistic part in me. I wouldn't want somebody to hear that and say, oh, I knew it, so forget it. I'm not going to do it.
It's
all over anyway.
And see, we would never leave anybody with that thought process, because as long as you have breath in your body, you have hope.
Absolutely.
So, and there's always opportunity and always chance. But, yeah, you're right. And the discussion basically took us to where we were trying to drive home the fact that, you know, an original assignment is what it is. God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God wasn't going to bend the rules for his own son, what makes us think he's going to bend the rules for us? He's not. But thanks for coming in. Let me close this show because I'm waiting for Apostle to come back, and apparently he's not going to make it back. So let's go ahead and close this portion of the show. You've been listening to The Voice with Chief Apostle Benton L. Smith. This is Blog Talk Radio / Elations Radio. Thank you to our producer, Sister Kimmy Kim. Thank you to Evangelist Marva, who came on and joined us. Thank you to Dr. Eunice Booker. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. We will see you next week right here on The Voice. Same time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same station, Elations Radio. Kimmy Kim, hit the track. Go to sleep.
I'd be sleeping if I wasn't home. The only reason I'm up this late because we're driving home.
Let me check. But she is still on that button today, bro. Let's see how this is, you know.
Huh?
She might have been looking for the broad, though.
Huh?
Ordinary person, living life on the edge of expectation. Ever since my life took on a new direction, I've been living life contrary to condemnation. Because God, you had mercy on me. You revealed your son in me. Opened my eyes and now I see to live my life more abundantly. Walking by faith and not by sight, in your power and not my own might, and I live to die, so you can increase and I decrease. You're wonderful,
oh. Yes you are, tremendous, yes you are, exceptional, yes you are,
and I see, but I see so differently.
I'm
Hello? Hello? Hello?